Yes, I'm blessing the Lord this morning because He has enabled us to meet. When I was praying what to share with you, the Lord gave me this word, grace. G-R-A-C-E, grace of God. What I feel you need now is the grace of God. What Christians need in the world today is the grace of God. The scripture that we read from the book of Genesis chapter 6. The world was chaotic. The world without hope was without hope. Wherever somebody could turn was evil. West, east, north, south was evil. Evil was in the whole world. Nothing good. But despite all that, when evil was going on, I want to show you how the grace of God operates and when it operates and to whom it will operate within. When the evil had increased in the world, just like the way we are in today, just like the world we are living now, without hope, without certainty, God was not happy. Even if God was not happy, God is not happy with the evil. But even if God is not happy with the evil, God still loves us. And He has a special plan for us. When the evil increased, I like this word in the Bible. When the foundations are shaken, when the foundations are shaken, what shall the righteous do? Now the foundations are being shaken. But what shall the righteous do? I like the word in the book of Habakkuk 2:4. The word of God says, the righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. After the foundations are shaken, because everything is shaken, everything is shaking, the righteous shall live by faith. In that time of Noah, everything was shaking everywhere. There was nowhere to turn. I don't want to mention some things that I have seen in this nation, because I have a big faith for this nation. But this nation is being shaken. Where will we turn? When God looked in the world during the time of Noah and saw the evil that was going on, He saw a man. The Bible does not say man, but He saw a man. One man called Noah. And God told Noah to build the ark for him. Noah was not a carpenter. He was not a builder. He was not well known. But God saw him in the midst of the evil. In the midst of the evil world, corrupt world, God saw Noah. He was not a rich man, but God saw Noah. And he told him, I want to build an ark for me, that I'll be able to save my people. Can you see the heart of God? Of salvation, a true savior, that I may be able to save the mankind that I created in my own image after my likeness. In the midst of the evil, there is a man and a woman of God. The Bible says, Noah found favor. That's what the Bible says. Noah found grace before God. Not because of his work or his strength, but he found grace. And God asked him to build him an ark. When God has seen something and he wants to do something and he's telling you to do something, not because you are able to do it, not because you are very good to do it, not because you have a good reputation, not because you are very young, not because you are energetic. Tell me when I'm not speaking good English, Malcolm. No. When God wants you to do something and he's telling you to do something, it's because you have found grace before him. The reason why you are here today, 30th of June, year 2024, in this church, Downs Baptist Church, is because you have found grace before God. And because you have found grace before God, God is counting on you to do what he wants to be done in this church, in Brighton, and in the whole nation of Great Britain. This can be a prophetic message to you, a message of encouraging you. Thank God because of Noah. When Noah was told by God to build the ark, he didn't have even a tape measure. He didn't have even anything on his hands. You don't have to have anything in order to be used by God. But when God is telling you to do it, he knows that you are well able to do it. And that's the reason why you are living in this place, in this country, in this world, such a time like this. When Noah was told, he was willing. He didn't question God. Why are you telling me to build the ark? He was willing. Number two, he started acting without anything on his hands. He looked at himself. He didn't have a tape measure, but he had a feet. He had one foot, two feet. And he started counting. God, how many feet have you told me? Or length of the ark? Okay, how many? They are there. 100. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He used his feet, what God had given him. He didn't go to somebody else to beg. He used what God had given him. There is something that God has given you already. And God wants you to utilize what God has given you. And he started with that until at the end he finished the ark. It was difficult. It was very hard. It was intimidating. But finally, he did God's will by the grace of God. The grace of God is the power of God, which enables us to do what God has called us to do. God gave you grace since 1991 to stand with me. There was nothing, but now there was nothing that time. But now I have buildings. I have a church, I have a clinic, and I have 13 churches. God gave you that grace to stand with me. Grace of God is so powerful. Sometimes, when we talk about the grace of God, I'm saying God can tell you to do something which will not look good even before the people. What God will ask you to do, not what people will like to. I'm remembering about this. Even the friends, people that God will bring to you, they are not people of your choice. I want you to remember about somebody called Hosea in the Bible. Hosea in the Bible, he was a prophet. But you can remember the time he went through because of his family, because of his wife. The wife was a prostitute, wasn't she? And Hosea was told not to separate with her or to divorce with her. He was going to find her where she was doing prostitution. But God gave him the grace. God can tell you to do things that are not good before your eyes. Something else that I was remembering about the grace of God. It's about Mary, the mother of Jesus. You remember Mary, the mother of Jesus? When God sent an angel to her about her having the baby, the angel said to Mary, "Hail Mary, full of grace." Why did he start by the word grace? God was imparting grace in Mary. Why do you think God was imparting that grace? Because Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. That means no matter what will come, Mary, because people will talk, you'll be intimidated. But remember, the grace of God is with you, and God is with you. And you are favored than all women. Then it came at a time when Mary now became pregnant, and the womb started becoming big. What were people saying? This lady was pretending that she is holy. According to the law of the Jews, she was supposed to be stoned. Is that not right? Because of being unfaithful. Remember, she had a fiancé who didn't know all about this. He tried to separate himself with her. Can you see the work of grace? But God gave her grace. Grace of God is to enable you to go through challenges. It does not mean when God asks you to do something, you'll not face challenges. You face challenges, but don't run away from those challenges. God wants you to go through them. That's the reason why you are in England such a time like this. I know there is election coming. And everybody, when I see your faces, the people in England today and in UK, everybody's panicking. It's a very tense election. May I say something? There is no time in the history of the Bible that church has ever been favored by the government. From the time of Moses, Pharaoh wanted to kill the people, was killing the people of God. Is that not right? In the time of Jesus, Herod was killing the children because of Christianity. There was no time we shall have a government favoring the church. Jesus said one word. From the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God suffers violent, and violent takes it by force. The power of God does not need your age or your youth. The power of God needs you to open yourself. God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. Don't tell me you are old. You can make it because it is not by might or by power. It is by his spirit, his Holy Spirit. And you are able, you are well able to carry the Holy Spirit of God despite your age. God has not finished with you. God has not done away with you. Remember, 1 year before God is like 1,000 years before him. And 1,000 years before God is like 1 year. Don't count years before God. At the age of 80, Caleb started his ministry. And he did it well. God wants to use you now. You are the person that God is looking at you. I'm talking about the grace of God. I said grace of God will operate when you are open to God. Tell God, here I am, wholly available. As for me, I want to serve the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. Your life is on the hands of God. It's not on your hands. Your life is on the hands of God. Life belongs to God. Your strength belongs to God. That's the reason why the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You need to, grace of God is behind you. God is counting on you. May I say, God has not finished with this nation. God has not done away with Britain. Britain remains Great Britain. It remains the greatest nation in the world. Why? Why are you greatest? Great. It's because you sowed. Oh, good. The Lord is reminding me something. It's because you allowed the men of this nation allowed themselves to be used by God, just like Noah. They allowed the grace of God to operate in them, and they took God in most of the parts of the world. God cannot forget that. The prayer that is sustaining United Kingdom today, not because of the prayers that you are praying, but it's prayers which were prayed more than 300, 500 years ago. The sacrifice which were made by the servants of God from this nation about 300 years ago. Remember somebody like me who was a Mau Mau, a terrorist son. I was preached to by a British man. I was transformed. And today, I'm a preacher of God. Do you think God can forget that? God cannot forget that. He is so faithful. And he is a rewarder of them that seek him diligently. God has not forgotten you. Be strong and of good courage. Since I don't want to keep you much, what we need to do is that there is no person who can claim that is righteous than the other. Are you getting me? Remember the simple word in the Bible, that in the book of Romans 3:23 and 24, that we have all sinned. And we have come short of the glory of God, saved by the grace of God. You cannot say that there's somebody bigger than the other one. Even Billy Graham was a sinner, saved by the grace of God. John Wesley was a sinner, but he was saved by the grace of God. We are all sinners saved by the grace of God. If that's the truth, then all of us can be used by God equally. Billy Graham did his part. You can't do your part. You are doing your part. Don't count the numbers. God does not count the numbers. God is not a democratic. God is theocratic. He knows you personally. That's the reason why in Africa we say Jesus Christ is my personal savior. He knows you personally. And when God wants to visit you, he does not even ask your address. He knows your address. He knows where you live. One time, let me give you a testimony. I was in need of money. And a friend of mine asked, let us pray God to give us money. I prayed. And he asked me to write a letter to another friend, that friend to give us money. I did write the letter, but this friend of mine signed the letter. We sent the letter to that gentleman, and that gentleman sent us money. It was a lot of money. Then I thought, this friend of mine that we are praying with, he could give me even a quarter of that money or a tenth of that money. But you know, he gave me very little, not what I was expecting. I went to God very bitterly. telling God, we prayed God to give us money, and this man is this gentleman is taking all the money. God told me that money was not yours. That money was his. If I want to give you money, I'll give you direct. Because I know you, I know where you live, I know your address, and I know your pocket. God is so personal. God is so personal. When you are talking about sin, when you are talking about sin, you are not counted as one of them. Because God has saved you. Because the devil is scaring us, making everything evil. Oh my God. Yes. I went to one shop and I saw something at one of these big shops. Maybe you have seen it. I don't want to mention it. You can see that sign at the door of the supermarket or these big stores, in mini stores. And then I asked myself, am I going in or not? Then I say, no, let me just do my business. That's, we should not be scared by those signs. God is still alive. Apostle Paul was a man of God. He was very prayerful, dedicated to God. And even at one moment, God took him to the third heaven. And remember, he was a sinner. He was a weak character. In the third heaven, he saw everything. He saw things that he could not explain with human language. When he came down, the Bible says he was given a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of the enemy. Always that is there. And we should not be worried about it. Then he started praying. I know you have been praying. Then he started praying that this thorn in the flesh may be removed from him. He prayed first time. I know you have been praying for your nation. Don't give up. He prayed for the second time. Nothing happened. He prayed for the third time. Nothing happened. Then God spoke to him and told him, my grace, I know you are going through challenges, even as families. And you have been praying. I know you have been going through challenges, even in the nation, even in the church. Let me tell you what happened. In the beginning of this year, I went through so many challenges. I was sick. I was diagnosed by a bacteria called H. pylori. It's a waterborne disease. Because when I was young, I was not eating well. I was drank very dirty water. And doctor told me that bacteria can stay in the stomach even for 40 years. And it was very hard for that bacteria to come out. I was vomiting and diarrheaing. Doctors tried injection, they could not work. But finally, when I prayed, they put some drips and I was healed. Then my wife was not well. Then one day I was driving from our Moro church to my house. There is a roundabout. A big truck came Big truck. Thank God, because you have good nation. Your roads here are dual carriage, and you have many lines. In Kenya, the road is very narrow and is single carriage. Now, this big truck came around and threw me away. The car was damaged, but me and my wife, we were safe. Next day, my son was driving to Nairobi. Between Nairobi and Nakuru, he knocked somebody with his car. Very seriously. The man did not die because I prayed. And the good thing also, the government did not, the police did not charge us anything. But the third thing was worse one. We had a guest who was coming from England to visit us, a lady called Catherine. She was working with Joseph in the clinic, in the street children. Joseph asked his son to go to Nairobi to pick this guest. The son went to Nairobi, and before he went to Nairobi, he took his wife to the hospital to have a baby. The husband went to Nairobi, and the wife was taken to the hospital. When the wife arrived in the hospital, the doctor said she must be operated. When they operated her, they found the baby was dead. The son one was coming from Nairobi now to Nakuru with a guest. Between Nakuru and Nairobi, they had an accident, and both of them died. We lost three people at once. Challenge. When I was praying, I heard, "My grace is sufficient for you. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time." You don't have to run away from challenges. Challenges will come. The morning is just for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And he reminded me about David in Psalms 23. David, a true servant of God. God made him to live by his grace. When he was saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," he was going through challenges. But the Lord, as shepherd, stood with him. He said, "Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death," because he could see death that time. When this family died, when these people died, I could see death everywhere. I was thinking about death. I didn't want to hear the sound of the vehicles because I thought I was the next one to die. But I remember these words: "Though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, because your staff and your Lord comforteth me." And when David said that, when he confessed the word of God, confessing the word of God, don't run away from the challenges. Confess the word of God. When David confessed the word of God, his eyes were opened. And he saw ahead of him a table prepared for him before his enemies. At the end of everything, you'll go through it all. "Behold a righteous man." Psalms 37, verse 37. "Behold a righteous man. At the end of that man will be peace." My prayer is that we go through challenges and win and finish well. Don't worry. Don't think God has forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Don't think God has forgotten your nation. I always tell you, your nation is great. Your prisons are better than our hospitals. Thank God you're in the right nation. In the hospital, ladies, when they are getting babies, they share bed for people and others sleep on the ground. Your prison, every prisoner has his own bed and a television. Nothing like that in our hospitals. You have clean water. If you come in my house, I will not allow you to drink tap water because you'll get typhoid. Thank God because of your nation. Don't murmur because of your nation. Your nation is going to be better. David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Let's dwell in the house of God. My last word will come from the book of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Can somebody read for me that word? 2 Corinthians. And we can stand when reading that word. 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Can we stand up and read that word together? If you are able to stand, can you stand? Can we read? 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Let us all read together. And the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.